Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, good. I could not tell if I had actually unmuted myself or not. I was, like, trying to look and, you know, what's my intro? Oh, no. Really, really great start to the night. I'm excited.
We could start over.
Oh, I think we probably should. It's for the best.
All right. Welcome to the Gamers Inn. No, let's not do that.
So, I feel like I had some kind of, like, PSA announcement off the start of the show, and I totally can't remember what it was. Wait a minute, I got a BlizzCon ticket!
Oh, right. I was gonna ask.
I didn't forget. I was totally just playing with you.
Well, the suspense, it really had me, like, I gotta download this episode to see if she got a ticket. Right. So you got a ticket. I want to learn all about the process, because in past years, it felt like most of the time it was just people complaining about how hard it was to get tickets.
I noticed that there were still a lot of people complaining this year. And a lot of the comments were, oh yeah, so was Blizzard system so bad before? Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh, the internet is just an angry, negative place.
I try to stay away from the internet as much as possible.
Yeah. But so basically this year, Blizzard switched over from doing it themselves to using a service. So they picked Eventbrite, which I've used Eventbrite for lots of different things before. So I already had a username, login, everything else, super easy. And I really think that the trick was that I was only looking for one ticket. I wasn't trying to get the max, which was four. Because I really think what happened is, like, say they have like 17 tickets. Like, people are trying to get those blocks of four. So if you're that fifth person trying to get a block of four, you're not going to get it. But me wanting only one ended up getting it, even if I clicked after that fifth person wanting four, because they're like, oh, you know, we don't have any more blocks of four available, but there's these couple of little random ones floating around. So where I was only going for one, I think that that might have been the trick. But like, it was so slow. It was like, I was refreshing like crazy, and it was fine, and there were no issues. And then as soon as they went on sale, it was like, click the drop down, clicked one, hit, like, order now or whatever, and it was just like, you know, the little spinny Chrome thing? Where it's like, I'm thinking, but not much. And I was just like, please, 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 please. And then I was like, clicking, 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 and I was like, wait, maybe I should stop clicking. Maybe that's like a mini refresh or something. I was like, maybe I'm constantly putting myself back at the back of the queue. So I stopped clicking, and I was just like, please, 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 please. And then I went through, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I didn't even get to the waiting room. I just went straight through. I was like, this is pretty fantastic. It took a while, though, but apparently it sold out in, like, seconds.
Ooh. So you were, like, right on there at 10 o'clock? 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock my time, yeah.
That's crazy. So there's another batch on Saturday, right?
Yes.
And from what I was able to tell, like, a few people who wanted to get tickets on Twitter were very unhappy they weren't able to get tickets. So will you be doing any sort of, like, I'll try and help buy tickets for other people? Or are you kind of like...
I offered a couple times. But then the other thing that I noticed was that people were either in the waiting room, waited for, like, 2 or 3 minutes, saw everybody say, oh, I'm getting a sold out message, so, like, must have quit out of the waiting room or something. Because basically what they said is, if you, we will let enough people in the waiting room as there are tickets outstanding, I think. So once I bought my ticket and had my transaction actually went through, my ticket was no longer outstanding. So I think what they did is they said, okay, we need to actually have transactions go through for 500, let's say. I don't know how many they actually officially released, but we have to wait till the transactions go through, and then it'll say it's sold out. So as long as there were outstanding tickets, there were people in the waiting room in case those transactions didn't go through, because you had 8 minutes to do, enter all your information, and which was tons of time. I did mine in like 30 seconds, because I was like, oh my god, the timer's going to run out. Type, 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 type. I was like, oh wait, that actually was a lot of time. So I think, like, as those 8 minute timers ran out, then they released those tickets back to the waiting room people. And so I think some people quit out without, you know, taking Blizzard's advice, which was like, once you get in the waiting room, do not refresh. Like, do not leave. Do not close your browser. You will lose your spot. And I think a lot of people just did that, assuming it was sold out, and then it wasn't. So there were people I saw at, like, 10 after, quarter after, that were like, oh my god, I just got in the waiting room, and oh my god, I just got my ticket. Like, what the hell? I thought you guys said it was sold out. It's like, well, don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Yeah, definitely don't. Because, I mean, like, by saying, oh, it's sold out, it's like, oh, I guess I'll go home. Ah, but joke's on you. So that's interesting. I mean, before they had their own system where it would crash and it was laggy. And I mean, yeah, so that's good that, Eventbrite was able to hold up under all that pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, like, really, you have to kind of cut them some slack. I mean, you have probably, I don't know, call it 50,000 people trying to hit the exact same site at the exact same time. They are all very computer savvy. They probably have really fast internet connections. Like, you are going to get slammed in that first, like, 2 seconds of access. And, you know, I'm sure some concerts are the same, but I'm also sure that a lot of concert goers are probably people like my parents that have freaking dial-up. So, you know, like, there's a little bit of a different demographic here that you're dealing with. And I think a lot of people, too, were really ticked off because they saw a lot of tickets go straight up on eBay. And so they were like, oh, using Eventbrite means that, you know, scalpers can buy tickets and stuff. And I was like, I've never bought tickets. This is my first ever BlizzCon, so I've never bought tickets through Blizzard's system. So did you? Have you ever bought a BlizzCon ticket?
No, but maybe buying tickets through the Battle.net site required a Battle.net account. Or maybe Eventbrite.
Yeah, but even then, a Battle.net account's free.
True. Maybe Eventbrite has, like, is a lot more of a, I don't know, I hesitate to say it because I doubt it's true, but maybe Eventbrite is a hackable system where they can use bots to buy tickets, but I doubt it. But, I mean, this happens with every single thing of purchasing tickets.
That's the thing. I mean, some people, I saw a lot of tweets being like, Eventbrite is the worst thing ever, and then I saw a whole bunch of tweets saying, Eventbrite is the best thing ever, and I was just like, yeah, this is just the internet again. But I got mine. It was, like, it was a really, really fun experience. Like, and I'm sure that it's because I got my ticket, so don't write angry hate emails in.
Yeah. But
I feel like I got in, I got my ticket, it was super fast, I was really excited, and then I spent the next, like, hour, like, on Twitter, talking to other people that were going, offering to help other people who hadn't gotten their ticket, then getting messages saying, oh, actually, I got my ticket, and there's just, like, all of this chat and community, and, like, I haven't had that kind of a constant chatter for such a sustained amount of time over anything, I feel like, in the last, like, year. Like, I literally can't remember the last time I had that kind of interaction around a single event. Like, Nerdtacular, maybe? But even then, like, it just felt so, like, everyone was online and everyone was talking, and it was awesome. It was a great experience. So I got my BlizzCon ticket.
That's good. Well, I mean, November will be a very exciting time.
That is true.
I will probably be getting the virtual ticket to watch some of the panels live and stuff.
I'll wave at you.
Oh, you'll wave at me. I'll wave at you. All right, I'll be on the lookout. You need to have, like, some sort of recognizable, like, attachment.
attachment.
Well, I don't know. Like, some sort of article of clothing, like a hat that is...
Well, I'm planning, because it's a two-day event, so I'm planning two different outfits. One's going to be Warcraft-themed, and one is going to be Hearthstone-themed. So I'm going to be all, like, blue and gray on one day, and then all, like, red and black on the other day, including, like, you know, streaks in my hair and, you know, fancy nails. And, oh, God, I'm so excited. I don't want to go now.
Well, it's not until November. I mean, you could certainly, like, lay your clothes out on your bed and be like, okay,
oh, my God, I've already thought about doing that.
Do it. I dare you. And then post a picture, and then everybody who didn't get a ticket will be like, oh. Not only do I not get a ticket, but I don't get to lay my BlizzCon clothes out on the bed.
I know, right? I already did my first round of nails. I don't have them anymore, but you might have seen... Well, maybe you didn't, but...
Well, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It was on Twitter, right? Like, there wasn't, a weird Pinterest page that I wasn't supposed to see. That's sexist. But you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't, like, some secret place where you posted a picture of your fingernails, like fingernails.com or something. Don't go there.
No, don't look up fingernails.com. But yeah, no, I did. I posted it on Twitter and Instagram, and it's, so I have red nails, and I have black Horde logo decals.
Nice.
They're so cool and so easy to put on, so I'm so excited. I want to go now.
Cool. Well, anyways. I'm excited for you, too.
Yeah, that's probably enough BlizzCon talk, because I don't want anyone to feel like I'm rubbing it in.
Yeah, we lost half the chat room because they all didn't get tickets.
I know, and I do feel bad. I'm super excited, and I don't want anyone to feel like I'm being mean by talking about it so much. I'm just really excited. So I promise I won't talk about it again until I get back from BlizzCon. Maybe the week before, to remind you guys that I'm going to BlizzCon and there will be no gamers in that week.
There will be many an announcements leading up to BlizzCon that I'm sure will bring back this discussion. Oh, yes. Don't you worry.
Yeah. So, anyways, I have been playing some Blizzard titles this week. Obviously, the constant Hearthstone, but Diablo has kind of pulled me back in, I guess, or pulled me back in for a point, mostly because I just wanted to get through to Act 5, because I was really feeling like, oh, finally, I made it back up to heaven again, I gotta do some of these boss battles, gotta kill Diablo, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna power through with my Crusader, I'm just gonna get there. So I did, and that was fine, except for then I get to Act 5, and I slaughtered everything in Act 5 until I got to the first boss and he just kind of went, oh, huh, smack. And I was like, oh, all right then. Well, so there's this like crazy steep difficulty curve. Did you find that in Act 5?
I found that the bosses were a little more difficult in comparison to some of the mobs you would encounter. I felt like that was probably due to the fact that there was more need to avoid. All the bosses in Act 5 have a avoid and attack strategy, in the sense that you have to get out of the way, because whatever attack or area of effect they're laying down is going to do massive damage if you stand in the fire.
Yeah, the first guy had like a big fire cannon thing. And so there was like, it shot fireballs first, and then there was like his second stage. So I made it to like his second phase, I guess. And he was like spraying fire with his fire cannon thing.
Yeah, he had a fire cannon.
I died there both times.
I died a couple times there too. So
I just felt like I'd popped all my cooldowns, like I was using all my skills, I was getting out of the way, and I still couldn't get him past about 60% health. And then I was just like, I don't know what else I can do. Like, I'm so far away from actually beating him. And I think I might need to just drop the difficulty, because I think the other problem is that my Crusader is still only level 48, I think. And aren't you supposed to be 60 going into Act 5?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it all scales, but, you know, Act 5 might be more difficult than the other act. I mean, that, you know, based on progression and the rules of it should be.
I'm still playing on, I want to say, expert? Yeah, I don't think I'm up to master level. I think it's an expert. So I think I might need to drop it down to hard.
I think I dropped it down to hard, just because of the bosses and some of the sub bosses, like at the start of Act 5, when I believe you're taking care of these like death orbs, these giant orbs that have like, you have to like kill piles of bones or something. Is that ringing any bells?
No.
Oh, I could have sworn it was the first part.
Oh wait, yes.
Okay. it's coming to me.
No, I guess not problem, but this does kind of bring up a little bit of an issue that I have with Diablo. I'm going to preface this by saying I really love everyone in the Amuv clan, and I think that it's really, really awesome that, like, I've enjoyed all of my play experiences with them.
Sure.
But there's some times that I kind of wish you could make a fully private single-player game.
You can do that.
What?
Yeah, you can lock down your game, so it's invite only.
I already have my game set to private, but all my friends can still drop in.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure there's a setting. We might want to revisit that, because, I mean, like, that would be that's tough for some people who you know, there are people who like to have a lot of people on their friends list, but also want to be able to just lock it down because
they don't want people
jumping in.
So what happened was I had somebody jump into my game who mm-hmm. was around my level, I think, maybe around a level 60, probably a character that they had leveled up because I was right at the beginning of Act 5. And as soon as it, like, they asked before they jumped in, and I said, yeah, that's totally cool. Just so you know, I've never played through this content. I'm going to play slow. I'm not going to skip anything. Like, I'm not going to skip any dialogue or quests or any of that. So they were like, yeah, that's cool. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to jump out because it was BlizzCon ticket night. Like, I'm going to have to jump out in an hour. So just so you know, like, that's going to be what the game experience is like. So mm-hmm. gave him fair warning. That was fine. Jumped in with his level. I'm going to say 60, but it might have been different. Mm-hmm. But like 131 or 151, I can't remember, Paragon levels. And was just like one-shotting everything. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you should try upping the difficulty. And I was like, so I went in to try to go up. And you can't go up. You can only go down. So I would have had to go all the way out and redo the difficulty and go all the way back in. And I was like, I'll just keep it at this. So that part that you're talking about, I vaguely remember piles of bodies. But in the time it took me to destroy one pile of bodies, he destroyed the other four. So I was like, oh, okay. And that, because that's when you get Boob Lady again, remember? The Mystic? Mm. She like crawls out from underneath the pile of bodies.
Yes. Yep. I'm sensing a theme lately between Smite and other games. I mean, we need a palate cleanser. Like,
she is extraordinarily chesty. She is a big woman.
Yeah.
And she has out to, like, here. And, like, to the point that you look at her and you're just like, how do you not fall over?
Well, yeah. She's a little top heavy. It's weird. Blizzard's usually pretty... No, I was going to say something that would have been an absolute lie. They've always been pretty bad with, you know, making characters a little voluptuous, we'll say. I mean...
Well, and that's fine. Like, I have no problem with boobs. I've said it many, many times, but I like...
Official Gamers In stance on boobs is they're fun they're here to stay.
And they're bouncy.
Yeah.
But what I find is that she, as a character, I think is the only one that I've ever seen in Blizzard in general that is extremely ill-proportioned. Like, she actually looks like she's going to fall over. Like, if someone had boobs that big, they would be down at their waist. They would not be sticking up in her face. And they're like, and it literally looks like she should have problems moving around.
Oh, jeez. Well, she's an enchantress. I mean,
she looks off balance.
maybe that's how she gets around. She just rolls.
Like a slinky?
I feel bad about... We're going to get emails about this. Or fan anyways, art. I mean, either one would not be appreciated.
Slinky with huge boobs?
Oh, yeah. If someone wants to Photoshop that, you know, whatever. Send it to the gamer info@thegamersinpodcast.com.
Yeah.
Gamersin podcast. No.
Gamersin, yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. She's all right. She, once you kind of get that, like, intro quest and she's out of your way and, you know. But, Lisa Advet in the chat room says they're filled with helium. That's how she gets around. That explains it. So yeah, she just kind of perks them up and floats away. Yeah.
Somehow that's better than calling her a slinky.
No, not at all. This is the point of the show where we stop being awful people. You're enjoying Act 5, except for the fact that... we talked about this before in trying to enjoy story-based content and not having it ruined, per se, but having people... Like, having the way the game works in co-op mode ruining that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens in MMOs, it happens in Diablo, and it's... It's that balance between how do we make it easy for you to play with other people while keeping that story intact?
Yeah.
You know? It's a difficult balance. And I think the way they get around it is you just lock your game down. And
yeah.
There's a way to do it.
There must be, because, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. No, it's probably buried. I mean, you would think setting your game to private would do it, but... Maybe because they consider the clan part of your friends list, they supersede the private.
Well, and I think that must be what it is mm-hmm. that, like, it's private in that totally random people can't join my game. But I've had friends drop in and I've had clan members drop in, which is usually fine because they always ask first, which I do really appreciate. Mm-hmm. But realistically, like, anyone can drop in at any time, or anyone on my friends list and anyone in my clan can drop in at any time. And I'm kind of just like, ugh, I don't know if I like that. There's some times where I just want to play by myself.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
That's, but I mean, other than that, I'm enjoying Diablo a lot. I mean, like, I've been playing between that and Smite. Like, that's pretty much all I've been playing for the last 3 weeks.
It's pretty easy to do that. I mean, considering how much fun both those games are in terms of just replayable content.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to getting you into adventure mode on Diablo, because I've sort of been saving that experience for our game night when we when we both get to that level, because that's where that game is at, and I have yet to fully experience that mode.
Same. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, I haven't even unlocked it yet, which was right. also part of the reason why I was like pushing ahead with my Crusader, because I wanted to unlock adventure mode, because I have a wizard who's kind of around level 40. I have a demon hunter at level 50. And then I feel like I have a witch doctor somewhere else too. Maybe around like level 10 or something, like pretty low. And these are all characters that I'd kind of like to level up and maybe play some max level content with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want it. Like, I've now played through the first three acts five times,
yeah.
And I've played through Act 4 twice, and I'm just kind of getting to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I don't need to see the story content. Like, I've never been the kind of gamer, and I kind of touched on it before, that skips through the story bits. I like the story bits.
Mm-hmm.
And when I played through Act 5 for the second time, I was literally like, XXXXX, like, go, 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 like, just I just want to see the content. Like, I just want to get through the content. I've already seen it. I don't want to see it again. Even leveling in WoW, I still read all the quest content because it was, like, long enough ago I may not remember, or it might have been a different quest chain that I didn't do the first time through. Like, there's so many different ways you can go in World of Warcraft, but Diablo is not the same. It's randomly generated, so there's different paths and there's different, like, little dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
But the main story's the same. You can't get around those quests, so...
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, and when I play games, it takes a lot for me to want to replay a story, because, you know, and most of the time, a lot is just a lot of time, because I retain, like, if I enjoy a story, that's the only way I'd want to replay it, but when I really enjoy a story, I retain, like, the key moments where it's like, all right, this isn't doing it for me, I've already experienced this. It takes a lot to go through a game again. But with Diablo, yeah, it's also feels like cheating, just like clicking that X button like 20 times just to get to the next.
It kind of does.
You know, it's weird, and that's why I think adventure mode is cool, because it takes away, it's like, it's saying, yeah, it's okay to cheat. We know that you don't want to play the story again, but we know you also just want to kill shit, so just go in there, we'll slip in dialogue from here and there, but I promise you, it won't be something you've heard 50 billion times.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, other than Diablo, I also mentioned something that we played together on Thursday night as part of Gamers in Game Night, and that was Smite. And this game is just, it's got its claws in me, man. Like, especially after that second last match last night, I want to play all the time. All the time. I came home from work and I'm like, Smite, I don't have time for this because there's pizza in the oven, but maybe I could, can I fit a match in 10 minutes?
Oh man. You know what? I think this is how the Angry Chicken started. So can we expect like some sort of Neath related podcast title coming soon as a spinoff of the Gamers Inn?
No, I don't think so.
We won't mention the not safe for work names that we dropped at Gamers Inn Game Night, but
I really, really, really think we should, because come on, dude, that was a stroke of genius naming that character.
Yeah. Well, what did it start off was? It's like, well, it's the chesty character. We'll keep the boob theme.
We talked about it last week. So
we
talked about, the very, very busty character with the ribbon top in, you know, covering very, very
not
important
a lot.
Or oh, important. Inappropriate areas of...
No, it's strategically covering...
Strategically covered, thank you.
For some reason, it doesn't count as...
You me long before that, you know.
If for some reason, it doesn't count as nudity if the nipple isn't showing. Exactly. For some reason. I don't know what it is.
What if it's, like, flesh-colored ribbons, like gold or, like, something beigey?
So it just looks like she just doesn't have nipples? I think yes. That still counts as not nudity.
Anyways, so as we're playing over the course of the night,
right.
There was ribbon and derogatory, or not derogatory, I guess slang term for breast kind of shortened and combined to end up, it sounds like something along the lines of something maybe a frog would say.
I can't tell if you just don't want to say it or you're trying to get me to say it.
I'm trying to get you to say it.
I'm the one that's going to get in trouble if I say it.
Of brilliance.
I'm the one that gets in trouble if I say it. You don't get in trouble.
So the lovely name that we came up with for this character was Ribbitits.
There it is. Oh, yep.
Yep.
So we'll see y'all next week.
And we're done.
We just got shut down by Twitch because evidently that was too bad. We in the heat of the moment, there were I was trying to say ribbon tits for some reason.
And that's very, what we'd been calling her.
Yeah, it was a group effort, and very quickly I merged the two words, and I don't think that would pass iTunes verification, so we might have to come up with a different name.
Yep.
But we touched on this last week. That's not to say all the characters are like that.
No, it's really funny. It's like just her. There are other busty characters in the game, and I don't want this whole episode to be about boobs. How did this even happen? But there are many other busty characters in game, but they're often like in armor. Like there's a couple that are scantily clad because it's still Greek goddesses, right?
Sure,
so there's like toga type stuff, and you know, things are bouncing, but she is just literally boobs with ribbons.
She's probably the worst offender, and again, like,
yeah, and it doesn't, yeah, the chat room is pointing out right now, Neo Run Neo is saying, what about that victory dancing? Yeah, the victory dance, I think, is what does it, because every single other character in the game has this like holy god type music that accompanies them, and for some reason she has this like crazy sped up house dance music going on, and she's doing this almost like Macarena chicken dance, which involves a lot of bending forward, and you're just kind of like, wait, what? It pulls you right out of the experience. I don't understand why it's just her.
It's to target that, like, think of what free-to-play games, you know, hit most of the time, and that is like the younger crowd, the kids that can't afford to buy new games every week, so they get into these free-to-play titles, and
if kids, your tutorial character does that when you win,
kids are amused by boobs. I mean, it is a fact. I was a teenage boy at one point, and I can tell you that, like, that'll happen. You know, so It's not a shock, but, like, and also I might be generalizing, and if Smite developers were listening to this, they'd be, like, crying and then maybe, like, banning us from ever playing Neath again, but, no, I think that might be partially the reason, and then that keeps them in, and, you know, oh, mommy, I want to spend gems on getting the Santa Claus version of Neath, and, or I think there's a...
I don't think there is a Christmas version of her.
She has the nurse outfit. Of course she does.
Yes, she has the nurse. That's right.
Yeah. But anyways, why don't we talk about what we really enjoyed. Oh, wait. Are the victory dances different for the skins?
I don't know. I kind of assume that maybe, but I don't know. Maybe it is just a different skin on top of a similar animation.
That would be more interesting.
Worth the test?
Worth a test. I don't think we've actually purchased any. You purchased a skin for one of your characters.
I did with, I think, about 10,000 favor, which was all my favor, but I purchased the amethyst version of, I can't remember her name because I've never played her. She's the goddess of heaven, I think, from Chinese mythology, which is, she's really cool. And I was looking at her powers, and they're like all different elements, and you have different crystals you activate and stuff. Looks pretty complicated, but really cool at the same time. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm going to try that after the show. But yeah, so last night, if you guys haven't, if you weren't there to watch live or you haven't checked it out yet, you should go watch us. It is on my channel, I think, because we couldn't get the Gamers In channel going. So
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I think it's set to auto-archive my videos, but if not, I'll post it up on YouTube. But the second last match that we played Arena, and we played against... was that the one that had four people because one person disconnected, or was that the full 5-on-5?
I can't recall. It might have... it. Yeah, I can't recall. But you know what? That match is probably worth singling out of our entire archive last night and putting that on YouTube. Because that was a nail biter, and we were all freaking out at the end.
That's true. It so was I so would intense. Suggest that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so intense. So I'm not going to go into too much detail because I think everyone should go watch it. But I will make sure to go in and highlight that video on my Twitch channel. So that's twitch.tv/GISGamer. So Ryan, what have you been playing other than Smite?
Other than Smite, post Gamers In last week, I downloaded Mario Golf World Tour. She giggles every time. It's like I don't get it. Let's get this out of the way right now. Why is this funny to you, Jocelyn?
Is it
the golf or is it the?
It's a combination of the two. It's like I can take Mario in a Mario game, in a Mario Kart, or in a Smash Brothers type melee situation, but. When you just, it's like...
I understand.
It just feels like they're so reaching. Like, at one point, wasn't there, like, Mario Baseball? There's Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. Or, like, it feels like one of those titles that they're just like, okay, we need to sell another game. What can we slap Mario's face on to help it sell? Well, we have this golf thing. Do you think, is Tiger Woods still a thing? Can we make a Tiger Woods game? Oh, that's bad. Okay, let's just make it Mario and we'll cartoon it and it'll be fine.
We're going to skip a year. We can't do the Peach, you know, chases Mario in his cart and uses Mario's golf clubs to ruin his rear window. We can't do that.
Exactly.
So we're just going to skip this year.
Poor taste.
Let's do hockey. I don't know. No, you're absolutely right. Mario, as in the chat room, Lisa says, Mario is the Barbie of video games. He can do anything. And that's true. It started off with Mario Kart. And I think that's why people love, not only is Mario Kart a great game, but it is an odd sort of like, oh, he was a platformer, but he's also in an all-star racing game. Like that's, but it's a lot of fun. And then actually, Mario Golf came before all of them. There was a Mario Golf game on the NES. I think Mario might
really?
Have... Yeah, I think Mario might have been in it in some capacity. I can't remember if you could actually play as him, but he was definitely like the caddy or something. So,
okay. And, I'm vaguely maybe kind of remembering that now. Not that it was anything... The only golf, and this is why I brought it up, the only golf game I ever played was Tiger Woods. I feel like... 2005 or 6 or something. Anyways, the first Tiger Woods game that came out, that's the one that I played, was, and I played it on the GameCube, and I played so, like, an embarrassing amount of Tiger Woods golf.
Well, golf, to me, in real life, I've never played it, but I can't watch it for the life of me on TV, and I don't understand. My younger brother plays... you know, and watches golf like it's a religion. But I had played Mario Golf on the N64, on the GameCube, and then picked it up here on the 3DS. And it's one of the better made Mario spin-off titles. You know, they half-assed, but they did baseball. I didn't like it. There's a soccer game that's actually made out of, you know, Vancouver, and there's also... tennis.
Tennis, that was the one I was thinking of. Mario Tennis.
Yeah, and the Josh is telling us in the chat room that the Mario Golf game on NES was NES Open Tournament Golf. So it, you know, he has a precedent for getting in there and trying new things. Minus there's never been a plumbing Mario game, so hey, maybe that's what the Wii U needs.
Like, you know what they should do? They should take that... Do you remember back in, like, early 90s, there was that game that came with Windows. It was the pipe game, and you had to, like, click through and choose the section of pipe to get the slime from one to the other.
Yes.
They should do that, but they should call it Mario Pipes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, with the touchscreen, either platform.
Puzzle game. I'm telling you. I should work for Nintendo. I'd make them millions.
Yeah, but then they'd listen to the other 119 episodes of this show and be like, wait a minute. She doesn't like Nintendo. I'm just joking. But no, this Mario Golf game is really good. It's the sort of the game du jour of everybody playing on the 3DS. Like, remember Animal Crossing when everyone was gung-ho?
Animal Crossing makes me so mad.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because I got that game because everyone was like, oh my god, I love Animal Crossing. The whole, like, 2 months I played Animal Crossing, you came to my town and stole my stuff and then came to my town and gave it back. And that was it. That was the entirety of people who visited my town and had any kind of interaction with me in this multiplayer game for the 3DS.
You missed
the
boat.
Even though everyone said it was awesome. So.
I feel bad. Yes. I know, I feel bad.
I'm not playing your game du jour anymore.
No. Well, I mean, even if you were to play the game du jour, you should probably get in on it, like, you know, in the jour.
That's true.
You know, so
Pokemon was something I got in pretty close to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I got stuck and I fell right off. I fell right off of the 3DS entirely. I haven't played that thing since our Zelda episode with John.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I mean, I've kind of fallen off the Pokemon wagon as well and was promptly reminded that I should play it more when I saw that Nintendo had announced another 3DS Pokemon game coming out in November. It's a remake of Sapphire and Ruby, which...
Is that the Twitch Plays Pokemon one?
It would probably be related to that one. I think they're playing Crystal, which is the improver. Like, the way Pokemon would work is they'd release the main version's Red Blue, and then a year or two later they'd release, like, a combined version with improvements, which that sense was Yellow. So... I can't remember. I kind of lost track after Gold and Silver. Like, it all just kind of merges together. But
right.
I feel kind of bad that I haven't been playing Pokemon. But I have been playing a lot of Mario Golf. And it's $35, actually, on eShop and in stores, which is kind of a discount price for a 3DS title, which is
nice. Well, yeah, that's like 10% off, basically, because normally they're $40. So
yeah,
a bit more than 10% off.
Which is nice because it is a golf game. You're just playing golf. There's, like, I think 6-9 courses in the game, and you can expand on that by getting there's already a season pass and DLC. I mean, Nintendo's taking this stuff very seriously when it comes to DLC. They're actually mapping out the content that's going to be coming out. Like, they've clearly stated there's going to be 3 packs. You save like $5 by buying the season pass. They'll be coming out.
How much is the season pass?
$15.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah, and you get a new character and 3 courses per pack. And it's $15, so you'll get in total 9 courses and 3 characters.
So does each character have different abilities and stuff, like, or different stats, I guess? So, like, Peach might be more accurate but can't hit as far as Mario or, you know, stuff like that?
So, yeah, like, all the characters in the game, there's all the staples in there. There's even the characters that only show up for the sports titles when they need to pad sort of the character roster, like Waluigi and Daisy. No offense, Daisy.
Daisy.
Yeah, but Waluigi, we all know that he's just like, are we going to play the next sports? You know, and he's got all his, like, rackets and golf clubs.
I used to love him in Mario Kart.
Waluigi?
Waluigi!
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of grown on me, but, like...
He's just funny. Like, he's not necessarily even fun to play. He has ridiculous emotes and is just so much fun.
Well, he's essentially a crazy version of Luigi, which, I mean, you get to have some... I like to think that they had fun with that character after they were like, we need an evil version of Luigi. So, like, a couple years down the road, it's like, wait, we can actually do some fun stuff with this guy. But no, like, Waluigi, in comparison to Luigi, like, Luigi has a bit of a curve and can hit, you know, a little shorter, but he's more accurate, while Waluigi can hit far, but has, like, a large curve. Therefore, you know, you have to take that into effect when you're aiming your shots and stuff.
Right.
And each character, like, slightly differs, but it's all well-balanced in the sense that whatever character you choose, you just have to sort of correct your shots. You know, it's arcade golf, and I've always been a fan of arcade golf. But the beauty of this game and what Nintendo's done is they've sort of embraced the online format. And sometimes Nintendo just they do it so well, and other times they just fall flat on their face when it comes to online. And I'm happy to say this is one of those moments where they've done really well with it in the form of tournaments. So when you open up the 3DS, you boot up Mario Golf, it'll say, hey, there's 6 tournaments on right now. They all differ in course type and goal type. And when you complete the tournament, you see your scores on the leaderboard in comparison to all the other people that played. But then you also, when you complete it, you get an item for your Mii character that you use in the single player campaign to improve your skills. So in the first week, they had a bunch of tournaments that would reward you Mario items. So my character in the single player campaign is running around with like branded Mario stuff all over him, which improved his shot length and accuracy.
Oh, cool.
So it kind of works both ways in that sense. And you're competing online with other people. But the cool thing that I've set up for everybody that wants to join in is the Gamers In Cup. And it's going to last 7 days, and we'll announce the winner next week, and maybe depending on if it's me that wins, I just get to gloat, but maybe if somebody else wins, we'll have a prize for them. We'll see what we can do. But I have a code that you need to enter into your 3DS once you go to private tournament and search by code. And then what you do is you run through the course and best score wins, and the prize in-game depends on how many players actually compete. So the more people that compete, the more coins you win. And then those coins you can use to buy items in the single-player campaign. So it's just a really cool way of asynchronous sort of multiplayer. You know, I don't have to wait for you to do your shot. I can kind of just post my score and then be done for the week. So it's a really cool way of doing it. And yeah, it is the, you know, 3DS game of the moment, and but the fortunate part is, I guess for us, is that I don't really foresee anything taking that top spot anytime soon. Whereas with Animal Crossing, it got overshadowed pretty quickly by
Zelda. Yeah, there seemed to have been a lot of things that came out in the latter part of last year for the 3DS. I mean, there was, you know, Pokemon and Zelda, and I feel like there was something else that I really wanted to try that I didn't get a chance to on top of Animal Crossing. And plus, I mean, they have the remake of Ocarina of Time, and, you know, just so many things came out last year, so maybe I'll get it. If I'm ever gonna get it, I should just get it now.
When it's $35
playing.
You know, okay. You said that you thoroughly enjoyed Tiger Woods. So,
I did.
So if you do have, that sort of like built-in enjoyment of golf video games, then I'm pretty sure you'll dig this one. And it's not as popular as Animal Crossing, but it's only gonna get more sort of like involved. And you know, if you want, I could let you know how we'll give an update on how this tournament goes. And if it's just me and Josh playing, then you probably got your answer. But at $35, it's a pretty good value.
Well, if it's still just you and Josh playing on Wednesday, then I'll probably let you have it. But if it's like you and Josh and like 25 other people, I'd be like, all right, I'm in, and I'm going to beat you all by all Friday. Right.
25. We'll see. I don't know. Can we do those numbers? All right. Gamers In fans, you want Jocelyn to play Gamers In. No, she already does that.
I already do that.
If you want her to play Mario Golf with us, then, you know, we got to get those numbers. Come on, people.
So where are we going to put this tournament code? I guess we can throw them up in the forums, which we never actually really have mentioned on the show, I don't think. But we have a forum over at Amove TV. Mm-hmm. So that's forum.amove.tv, I believe. And you can see all the Gamers and stuff is there, along with all the other Amove shows. So if you want, we'll make a post on the forums, and we'll tweet it out from the Gamers In account. We'll tweet it out from our accounts and post it on the Facebook page. So whatever your social network of choice, go grab that Gamers In Cup code.
Yep.
And if enough of you do it, then I'll come and beat you all.
Yeah, so
there, I mean, play in a non-competitive.
Yeah, this is not Tiger Woods. This is Mario Golf. Come on. But no, you'll have until Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern to post your score, and we will announce the winners here. And like Justin said, the code will be plastered everywhere. If this is successful, we'll do it every week until
People stop playing.
Until some other game comes out.
So I think that pretty much does it for what we're playing. So I just wanted to quickly say that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which we finally have time for, although not a lot of time.
No.
But we've had to skip our topic because we've been talking so much about the games that we're playing. We've had to skip our topic for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. So this week we're going to go with something quick and easy. We're going to talk about playing games to relax. So really, just to preface this, I used to play games to relax, but now I find I take it too seriously. So I really try to relax when I play games, and a lot of the time I start playing games that I think are going to help me relax because they're short or they're easy or they're indie or whatever. You know, I can get in and out and don't have to worry about it. So that's how Hearthstone started. That's how Don't Starve started. I'm trying to think of something else that I've used in the last little while to try to relax. Those are the two that really come to mind right off the top of my head. Neither one of them actually makes me relax anymore. What about you, Ryan?
Well, I mean, when I originally proposed this topic, I was having a really sort of like kind of stressful week. And I find when I'm playing video games, it's usually just whatever's in my current rotation. I don't go out of my way to find a relaxing game unless I just happen to be playing one. And I think that's kind of an issue I have because I was playing Trials Fusion and Trials Frontiers, which the Trials games are like Twitch-based platformers while you're riding a bike. So it's, and it's known for its difficulty. And I'm sitting there trying to relax after like working overtime, and I'm sitting on the couch playing this game on my iPad doing this, and like, and I just like swearing and dying, and I couldn't do it. And I was like, I freaking hate this game. Why am I playing it? I'm trying to relax. And at that moment, I realized, like, okay, this is a problem. Probably.
And I think that that's kind of the difference in when you were saying to relax. So I think of wanting to relax with the video game, something that I do before I go to sleep. Mm. But what you're talking about in that instance is more of a reset button. Like, what do you do to relieve stress and all that kind of stuff? In those cases, I blow shit up. So yeah. I just go into whatever game it is that I'm playing at the time that involves explosions, and that's what I do. It's just so satisfying when you've had a bad day, and I've had quite a few in the last couple of weeks, that you can just go in and make things explode. It's like seeing your rage on the screen and things just going...
Sometimes, like lately I've been craving a... like single player, third, you know, person perspective adventure game. And I think that's just kind of what I...
So
what,
like something Skyrim-y?
Maybe. Sort of like Skyrim, sort of like, you know, Dragon Age-ish or Mass Effect, like those type of games. Yeah. Like story-based, you're able to explore, take your time.
We haven't really had one lately, have we?
Exactly what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I kind of want to just play that, but I don't have... And I've been on the lookout for one, and...
I can't even think of the last one that we would have had that was like that. I mean, I guess Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, but I find, like, Assassin's Creed, the way you control and the constant, like... It's a little too stressful for my taste because you're always like, maybe it's the stealth gameplay or the fact that you always do better by being out of sight, which kind of ruins it for me. But I mean, there's a new game that I'm going to check out this weekend, maybe, is Bound by Flame. It's not getting the greatest reviews, but I...
which means you're going to be an advocate?
No, I... it's getting mixed reviews. Like, there's nothing in the middle. It's either... you're going to enjoy this game, or this game should be avoided kind of thing.
Right.
Which usually comes right down to whether the reviewer just really clicked with the game. And James Iagovos from Indie Love had reviewed this Bound by Flame game, and it's a third-person fantasy mix between Dragon Age and a little bit of Dark Souls, although they say it's more on the Dragon Age side. I know that this Dark Souls is not very relaxing.
No.
So I might check it out. You know, Polygon is calling it generic and boring, while some sites are saying it's actually quite interesting. So I might dig a little deeper on that. But yeah. I'm just really, I need like a story-based RPG. I was actually considering replaying Dragon Age.
Really? Dragon Age, the first one? Or the second one?
Maybe the first one, because Dragon Age 1 actually has more of a variance in terms of who you can play as and your story choices and stuff like that.
Okay.
As opposed to Dragon Age 2, which is kind of like female or male hawk, and it's kind of more linear in this. I mean, you can be good or evil and make choices, but, you know, I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but Trials is definitely not something you want to play to relax.
I find anything where there's a level of competition, that's something that I don't play to relax. A lot of the stuff that I play to either just chill out or not blow off steam, but just chill out and not do anything, usually before bed, stuff like that, is either something that's repetitive and farmy. So I tend to do a lot of things in WoW when I just want to shut my brain off.
That's good.
Like whether it's achievement hunting or, you know, running old dungeons, that kind of stuff where it's just like, well, I'm about 30 levels higher than I need to be to do this content and complete this achievement or quest or whatever. So I'm just going to sit back and one shot things and just, you know, go through the motion sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I find I play a lot of Tapped Out right before I go to bed, because there's, you literally don't have to think about that game at all. It's just like, collect all the monies and set all the tasks, and collect all the monies and set all the tasks. So
see, I get really addicted to free-to-play stuff, which I think is the reason why I'm still playing Trials Frontiers. Because, like, that notification goes off, or, like, you know, the daily slots is open again, or you need to do your race while you have full fuel kind of thing. Like, that, it always gets me, and once I do it and I find that I'm, like, you know, I've not killed 5 minutes, I've killed half an hour, I'm like, what am I doing? You know?
What, like, am I doing with my life?
Why am I still playing this? It's not relaxing. It's like, now I'm fine, rather than touching it like every once in a while through the day, it's like every hour. Which is never good. I mean, that's how you lose things.
Unhealthy.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 doctors agree, don't touch your Trials Frontiers. Every day.
Do you have any certain recommendations of games that you would absolutely touch on a daily basis, or?
I don't like the way this episode's been going with the innuendo, but Mario Golf I've been playing to relax. Like, if I have like 20 minutes, I'll do a tournament. And there's always a constant refresh.
More the mobile type stuff.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying some of the iOS, you know, play a game of Threes.
I was just going to say, what about Threes? Because Threes is the kind of game that started off as a relaxing game for me. But I got very quickly competitive with myself. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, God damn, what's wrong with you? You only got a 96? Smack! Again!
But, like, a lot of iOS titles, like Monument Valley that I played recently.
That was a really good one. Yeah. That was relaxing. The music, the sound effects, just... Mm-hmm. Although, that one I found you did kind of... You wasn't necessarily thinking a lot, but it was a puzzle game, so there were things to get figured out. And if you got stuck, I found it extraordinarily frustrating. It's just like, it's not a big map. There's only so many ways I can turn this. Why can't I get my person over there?
Yeah. iOS has got many a titles that are good for just a quick play, and you can close them right out and open them back up. It's a good platform for that.
Yeah, and there are only 10 levels in Monument Valley. I finished the last one last week, and I was like, oh, I kind of wish I hadn't finished this, because then I'd always have the option of playing Monument Valley, but now it's gone.
Well, they've announced that they're going to have new levels soon, so...
Yeah, and I'm sure they will, and I mean, like we talked about it before, it has a great art style, and it's definitely worth the $2.99, was it? Anyways, worth the money. Mm-hmm. Definitely worth the money. Very, very pretty game. So if you want to show your TGI pride like me, you can't really see it. There we go. So if you want to show your TGI pride like me, then you can go to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H, loot.com, to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. There's tons of other shirts, including all kinds of stuff by the Johnsons. You can also get a whole bunch of shirts for all your favorite podcasts, like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. Which brings us to listener feedback, and we got an email this week from Rexerer. I'm really sorry if I butchered that.
Rexerer.
So, Ryan, do you want to read this one?
Sure. This one comes from Rexerer, and it's titled, Jocelyn, ESO Needs You. And I picture it's like Rexerer pointing at the screen.
With like a Sam hat?
Yeah, probably. I mean, let's not go too far. Hi, I really enjoy the show, and thanks to you, I am now subscribed to Loot Crate, and thanks to Jocelyn.
Which I also did tonight, officially.
Sweet.
I tried to get that refer a friend thing to work, and I think what I should have done is clicked on your link, signed up, and then gone through the process. But I think what I did was I signed up and then clicked on your link, and then it was like, yeah, it didn't work. Anyways.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah, there are referral Loot Crate codes, and we'll throw one in the show notes if you guys are interested in Loot Crate. But like Rexfer, who also says that thanks to Jocelyn and her passionate description of her ESO gameplay, he is now hooked on that game. He had been playing WoW for 5 years, but after listening to Jocelyn, decided to give ESO a try. I haven't played WoW since. WoW is still the best all-around king of MMOs, but for me, a 45-year father of two, there's something...
I think he means year old.
Yeah. Father of two. I tried to clean... the contact forms are never easy for writing emails, but there's something about the pace and exploration of ESO that has made gaming fun again for me. Emphasis on for me... ESO and WoW are only related as a genre. The games are very different, and as Jocelyn has said many times, this is only a good thing. Play and let play, don't hate. And now, the reason for my message. Oh, we're getting to the reason. Jocelyn, please start an ESO segment or podcast. Your passion for this game was enough to get me to buy into an MMO when I wasn't even looking for a change from WoW. So it would be great to hear about ESO from you on any kind of regular basis. Thank you again for the podcast, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks very much, Rexerer. Any name with an X in it just throws me right off. But I actually fell off a little bit of ESO when I started playing Smite. It took up all my game time, and my weekends have been pretty busy over the last few weeks. So I am planning on picking up ESO again. And actually, I got a code in my email from them, which is just another example, I think, of how they're doing things right. So... Mm-hmm. Everyone probably remembers me complaining about the big, huge thing where I bought the collector's edition and then they kind of kicked me out for a few days because I hadn't verified that I bought the game. My early access ended before my actual game got here, so there was a couple days over the weekend that I couldn't play, which was really frustrating. So I got an email from them and I got 5 days of free game time. So I was just kind of like, oh, so they, and it's automatic. So as soon as my 30-day subscription ends, well, I have to go plug in the code. But then when my 30-day subscription ends, I'll get 5 bonus days and then they'll charge me again. So it's like perfect. It's the perfect solution. I lost 1 day of game time and they gave me 5. Hmm. Like super happy. But in terms of actually, I think what happened with me in ESO and the reason I kind of switched over to another game, other than Gamers and Game Night, because that's really driving the games that I'm playing right now, but I hit a wall with ESO. It was around level, I'm probably about 8.5 right now, and I found every single boss fight I went into, I couldn't win. I was just like, I wasn't geared, or I wasn't high enough level. I haven't done a lot of crafting stuff, and I found I hit a wall, and I couldn't do anything else in any of my quest lines, and then I kind of fell off, so...
That's too bad.
And I think it's because I haven't explored enough, and I haven't found enough new quest lines, because there's all these little towns spread out all over that have their own little self-contained storylines, and they're all really, really interesting, And I found two or three of them, and I think I just have to go find more of them because I definitely haven't explored much. I've been very, like, main quest line focused. Mm-hmm. So, but what I'd really like to do this weekend is get through a lot of that questing and get myself up to level 10 and get into the PvP area. So I know everyone's going to be super good, and I didn't want this to happen. I was hoping that I would get into the PvP area as soon as possible, but... whatever, it's fine. I'll just run in, get called a noob. It'll be like every other PvP experience in every other game ever, but whatever.
Well, so. it sounds like you're still enjoying it. It's just there's a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. You don't think those bosses are maybe gated to be like play as a group? Like
most of them are instanced. Oh, okay. So that's one of the complaints that I have seen crop up.
Okay.
Is that if you're not close enough, like you can go into a boss encounter with somebody, but if you're not close enough to the boss when it dies, sometimes you don't get credit for that boss kill. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues I've seen with like grouping. But some bosses are just straight up main story quest. You're meant to feel like you're a big, huge badass. And so you are instanced into it all by yourself. Usually it's main story and it's like you and another main character. So like the queen of the high elves, there's one quest line with her where you go and kill a boss. And then there's another one with, part of the Fighters Guild quest line, I think. And you go down to save one of the Fighters Guild guys. And again, that one's instance and you can only go in by yourself. So there's a couple of those times where it's single player only content mixed into this MMO world that's causing some people to have issues. But anyways, I don't want to get too much into ESO. It's a fantastic game still, I think. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a lot of things right with it, and the more people that I hear are playing it, it's so awesome. So if anyone wants to add me, shocker, I'm GIS gamer in game, so please feel free. I would love to do some sort of ESO podcasting something, but time is a factor. I have a very demanding day job, so often when I get home, I don't want to sit in front of a mic. I just want to play games, so...
Except for Mondays and Fridays.
Except for Monday. And even then, like, I find Mondays and Fridays is kind of enough. So I might toy with the idea of doing a 5 or 10 minute video segment on my own or on the weekend to kind of smoosh on to the end of Gamers In. We'll see. I'll think about it. It's not a bad idea. It's just, it's a time commitment. That's all. So thank you very much for your kind words. I'm glad you're enjoying both ESO and WoW. I'm still enjoying WoW as well, so I haven't been raiding, but, and again, because my weekends have just been so busy, but I have still been popping into WoW from now and, like, every now and again, and I love them both, and I think that that's okay.
Yeah. Well, we've been having regular Smite sections, so...
Yeah.
if you really want, a game that pops up every week, it looks like Smite is going to be it for a couple months, so... Yeah,
I just bought all the heroes too. Or sorry, not heroes, all the gods.
The gods.
I'll be playing that for a while.
And we have a plan.
Right now, after the show, we're going to do some streaming over on probably GIS Gamer on Twitch and the Gamers In on Twitch. So sure. If you want my version and Ryan's version, then head on over to Twitch and watch us play some Smite any minute now. So... I think that pretty much does it for the show for this week. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Angry Chicken, and AMOVE Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, without comments, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and tell us how much you're enjoying Diablo or Smite, or how you're doing in the Mario Golf TGI tournament, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember... tune in next week, which we should probably say when. Next week, AMOVE TV on Twitch, 8:30 Eastern, every Friday night. I always forget to give the time.
Yeah, 8:30 Eastern.
Yes, on the dot, or as close to possible as on the dot as possible.
Just get here early. We don't start early. Sometimes we start late, but yeah, get here at 8:30.
Yeah, yeah. See you next week.
Bye.